Well, so we're going to continue a little bit on Chof Hem Beis, so as to be able to start towards the bottom of the Daf and have a good shot at finishing Daf Chof Vav tomorrow. So we're picking up in the middle of Chof Hem Beis by the two Dat V'lo Yiskasa. So the Mishnah said that one should not literally clothe themselves in putrid water, bad water, or ultimately flax water until you add additional water into it. In other words, these waters are putrid, these waters are disgusting, so they don't work to cover oneself for Kriyat Shema purposes. So the Gemara says, V'kama mayo, how much water do you have to pour into these other waters in order to make it usable to cover oneself for Shema? So the Gemara says, V'kama mayo rami va'azil, how much water would you have to pour into this mixture in order to make it fit? Rather, Gemara says, "El hachikamar lo yiskasa lo b'mayim harav lo me'a mishra klal." Rather, what the Mishnah meant to say is like this: you cannot use putrid water, nor can you use flax water to cover yourself for Kriyat Shema at all. They are invalid for that use. Umei raglaim atshiati l'sochan mayim v'yikra. However, urine, the halacha is, if one could recite Kriyat Shema in its presence, and this is obviously not talking about covering oneself with urine, this is talking about reciting Kriyat Shema in the presence of urine, as long as one adds in water into it. How much water do you have to add into urine in order to be able to recite Kriyat Shema right then and there? Kolshu, any amount of water is enough to dilute the urine and therefore allow for the recitation of Shema. Reb Zakka Omer Revius. Reb Zakka says, no, you require a revius of water. So not just a little bit of water, but a revius, approximately 3.5 ounces. Amrav Nachman Machlokis Labasof. So the Machlokis is only if you're pouring in the water after the urine is already there. Ava Betchila, but if the water is there from the beginning, Kol Shehin, then any amount of water is able to dilute the urine. The distinction being that if the water is there first, every drop of urine that falls into the water is bottle, is essentially negated in the presence of the water. Masha'in Kain, if the water is introduced second, then you require some significant amount of water, i.e. a revius, in order to dilute the urine. Rav Yosef says, Machlokes lechatchila. Ultimately, again, the machlokes is really regarding whether and if the water is there first. That's when you have the machlokes. Do you need a little bit of water? Do you need a revius of water? Avala basof. But if the water is being introduced after the urine is already present, devri hakol revius. Everyone agrees that halacha lamaisa, you require a revius of water. Amar li Rav Yosef l'shamei. Rav Yosef said to his attendant, I see the revi'isa demaya k'Rav Zakkai. Bring me a revius of water like Rav Zakkai. So you see over here that he acted in accordance with this position that you require a revius in order to dilute the urine. Ten rabbanim. What's an interesting case. Graf shal ra'i va'avit shal mei raglaim. So we'll say this is about a bedpan. Graf shal ra'i literally, again, is a bedpan used for excrement. Rashi says, "Shtem kli cheresin el sharei kari graf v'shom eglayin kari avot." So mostly these are bedpans. So a bedpan used for excrement or for urine. Aser likros Kriyat Shema kinegdon. One is not permitted to recite Kriyat Shema in the presence of these bedpans. And even though what va'af api she'in bahem klum. Even though there's nothing presently inside of the bedpan, nevertheless you cannot recite Shema in the presence of a utensil that is miyuchad, like Rashi says, that is set aside and designated to contain waste. Umei raglaim atzmon atshiyati lesochan mayim. Urine itself, one can't recite Kriyat Shema in the presence of urine until one adds in water. Vekamayati lesochan mayim, how much water do you have to add? Kol shehu. Any amount of water is fine. Same machlokes as we had before. Reb Zakka Omer Revius. Reb Zakka says that you have to introduce a revius. So the Gemara goes on, Bein lifnei hamita, bein la'achar hamita. This is true whether or not the urine is in front of the bed or behind the bed. Now, we'll say, what's the distinction before, behind the bed, in front of the bed? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Bein lifnei hamita, shin hamita mafsekes beino lebeinam. So we'll say, so the idea being, if the urine is behind the bed, so there's usually some type of like headboard in back of the bed, therefore there's a hefsek. Or I should say the fact, forget about the headboard actually, the fact that the urine itself is behind the bed, and so the bed itself serves as like a mechitza barrier with the urine. So Reb Zakkai says, Revius, Bein lefnei hamita, bein la'achar hamita. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, la'achar hamita korei, lefnei hamita eino korei, v'amarchu ku arba amos v'korei. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says that if the urine is in front of the bed, if the urine is after behind the bed, so the bed is acting as a mechitza, as a barrier, then you could say Shema. But halacha lemaisa, if the urine is in front of the bed, then you must distance yourself dalit amos. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, "Afilu beis mea amo lo yikra, says that Allah says, even if you're inside a very large house, that's using an example of 100 amas, nevertheless, one should not go ahead and say Shema until halacha lemaisa. Until halacha lemaisa, you go ahead and you remove the bedpans from in. So the Gemara then goes on and asks a question. Heichi ka'amer. So Rabbi says, when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made a statement, so ultimately, again, what is it that he's trying to convey? Is it achar hamita kore miyad? Is it that if the bedpan is behind the bed, so then again, it's not a problem at all, and he's permitted to recite Shema? Lifnei hamita marchik arba amos kore. But ultimately, again, if the bedpan is behind the bed, if the bedpan is in front of the bed, he must distance himself for amos, and then he can reach Shema. Oh, dil mahalchik amar. I mean, this is what he's saying. La'achar hamita, marchik arba amos akore. Maybe it's like this. If the bedpan is behind the bed, so then you have to distance yourself dalet amos, and then you could say Shema. But lifnei hamita, but if the bedpan is in front of the bed, ein akore klal, then one would not be permitted to recite Shema at all. So we're trying to clarify ultimately again through Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, to which the Gemara says, Tashma. The Zayim Shimon Elazar Omer, Shimon Elazar says, Achar Hamita Kore Miyad, if the bedpan is behind the bed, so that's enough of a mechita, that's a barrier. You can reach Shema immediately. Lifnei Hamita, Marchik Arba Amos. But if the bedpan is in front of the bed, so you must distance yourself Dalet Amos. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afilu bayis mea amo lo yikra ad shiotzimo ad shenichim tachas hamita. So what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that halacha lemaisa, even if it's a very large home, one cannot recite Shema until ultimately one takes the bedpan out or puts it under the bed. Shabbos says, so you see over here that what? That halacha lemaisa, the moving away of Dalet Amos is a din of when it's in front of the bed. But halacha lemaisa, if it's in back of the bed, that would appear that that serves as enough of a mechitza, and one could say Kriya Shema like that. To which the Gemara says, Bayon if shitalon. So fine, you answered that Shel Regarim Shem Gamliel. However, Masnisa Kashina Hadadi, but also here's the problem. We now have a stira that the Brises, both that quote Reb Shem Gamliel, seem to quote ultimately again different opinions, meaning one attributes, one opinion to Reb Shimon Gamliel, the other to Reb Shimon Elazar, to which the Gemara says, Ifach Bas Raisa. You're right, go ahead and simply reverse the last price and align the opinions. My chazis, the apchis basraisa, epoch kamaisa. So why is it that you're switching around the second braisa? Why not switch around the first braisa? Man shamis leid amar kule bayis ka'arba amos. Because Rabbi says, who is the opinion who holds that halacha lemaisa, an entire home, is considered to be like dalet amos? That's Reb Shimon Elazar. Rabbi says, we have to know that shita. Just this general idea, we'll see that the whole home is treated like dalet amos, actually has an interesting halacha lemaisa application as well. There's a din in the morning, upon awakening in the morning, that one should not walk more than dalet amos without netilas yadayim, without washing one's hands. Which is why the halacha brings down the concept of going ahead and keeping netilas yadayim, water and the basin by your bed, so you could wash nigelvaz, you could wash netilas yadayim in the morning. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes an opinion that says that the entire home is considered like dalet amos. Right? Dalet amos really represents not just the measurement, but your immediate surroundings. So that there's an opinion that holds that the whole home is like dalet amos, which is what many of us rely on to be able to get out of bed and walk to the bathroom or walk to a sink and be able to do netilas yadayim like that. Okay, I'm Rav Yosef. By my name, Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef asked the following shayla, mita pachos mishlosha. What happens, halacha lemaisa, if you have a bed that is less than three tefachim high? So there's less than three tefachim of space between the ground to the bottom of the bed, to underneath the bed. So we're not talking about the space, let's say, from the top of the bed to the bottom, but rather the space underneath the bed, from underneath the mattress to the floor. So ultimately, there's less than three amas. Pshitali dikalava dummy. Ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa. That, remember, also we have a concept of lavud. Lavud is a halacha lemoshe misinai that says that anything within three tefachim is considered to be attached to the ground. So therefore, the Gemara says something very interesting. If you have a bed that is less than three tefachim of space between the underneath part of the bed and the ground, it's considered as if the bed extends all the way down to the ground. The important part for that, for us, is that if you were to have a bedpan underneath that bed, the bedpan is considered to be as if it is totally covered. Pshitali dekalava dami. Shlosha arbo chamisha shisha shiva. What happens, halacha lemaisa, If the bedpan is underneath a bed that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tefachim high, Amar li lo yadano. He said, ultimately, again, I don't know what the halacha is. So the shaila is, if the bedpan is underneath the bed, and you cannot apply the concept of lavud, so what's the status of the bedpan? So the Gemara says, asara vaday lo miboyle. So halacha lamaisa, if there's an area of 10 tefachim underneath the bed, meaning the opening, but the space from the underneath the bed to the ground is 10 tefachim or more, halacha lamaisa, that's not a shaila. Because remember again, once you're 10 tefachim high, then ultimately 10 tefachim is the height of a reshus onto itself. And therefore it's clear that the bedpan is not considered to be covered by the bed. Rabbi said to Rabbi Yosef, it's good that you didn't ask that shaila, because like we just said before, anything that's 10 tefachim high is considered to be a separate rishos. So if you were to have a bed that the area underneath the bed was 10 tefachim of open space, everyone would agree that a bedpan that is underneath that area, halacha lamaisa, is not considered covered, and therefore it poses a problem for kriyashma and tefillah. Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Rava says as follows, Pachos mishlosha kelavad dami, if there's less than 3 tefachim from the area underneath the bed until the ground, then it's lavud. It's as if the bed extends all the way down to the ground, and therefore the bedpan is considered as if it is covered. Asara reshus achrisihi. Everyone also agrees that if there's 10 tefachim or more of open space underneath the bed, between the underneath part of the bed and the ground, that's a separate reshus, right? And therefore, again, our 10 tefachim is high enough to count as a separate reshus, which for our purposes means it's viewed as if the bedpan is not covered by the bed. However, mishlosha va'adasara, haynu debayyaminei, Rabbi Yosef merafuna v'lo pashutlei. But again, if the area underneath the bed is between 3 and 10 tefachim, that's the shayla that Rabbi Yosef asked of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna did not answer it. Amar Rav, so Rav says, halacha k'Reb Shimon Elazar. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the halacha follows Reb Shimon Elazar. Remember, Reb Shimon Elazar's position was that halacha lemaisa, Pshirullah's position was that if you have a bedpan in a house, so you can't say Shema in the entire house. The presence of the house, the presence of the bedpan, pretty much takes away your ability to recite Shema in the entire home. Remember again, as we just said before, because Reb Shimon Elazar holds that an entire home is considered to be like one Dalet Amos. Therefore, if you have a bedpan in the home, it's as if you are within Dalet Amos of that bedpan, and therefore you can't recite Shema. V'chein Amar Bali Amar Rab Yaakov Bira Dibas Shmuel Halacha Reb Shimon Elazar V'Rava Amar Ein halacha k'Reb Shimon Elazar. So we'll say again, different opinions. One says halacha was Shimon Elazar, the halacha says the halacha does have Shimon Elazar. We'll say halacha lamaisa, how do we paskin? So we paskin that, assuming that there's no smell, then as long as you are dalet amos away from the bedpan, ideally, again, not in sight of the bedpan, even if you are in the same home, the same room as the bedpan, halacha lamaisa, one would be permitted to go ahead and daven in that vicinity. All right, so we'll stop over here, and Amir Hashem, we will pick up on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, wishing everyone a wonderful evening. I'm looking forward to putting with everyone tomorrow.